got an $8 bottle of wine.
All right, let's learn a little bit more about the Los Angeles Rams. Back here on Darren Adonik, Joe Curley, Ventura County Star. Got good news and bad news, Joe. Which one you want first? Well, let me start with the bad news. The bad news is we just made our picks and we broke down the NFC Championship game and we all picked the Saints. You want the good news?
What's the good news?
We suck at picking, so that's the good news. We picked the Saints and we haven't been right here lately. How do you see this playing around? Playing out?
You know, I was joking yesterday with a buddy of mine that I had I started the week with both teams that had won the previous matchups this week, the two home teams, or excuse me, the Pats and the
Saints.
And the Saints, mm-hmm. And I'm probably going to end the week flipping. So that's how I have no idea what's going to happen on Sunday, other than I think. New Orleans has home field, and I think beating Drew Brees in that dome is one of the toughest things you can do in football. But I do think when you look at what's happening with both teams, I think the Saints are kind of regressing, and the Rams are now coming on. I think their defense is playing much better. I think they're healthier. I think they're in a better position. They've got to keep the lead back. They're in a better position, I think, to do some damage on Sunday. So I think as close as these teams were in Week 9, I think they're even closer on Sunday afternoon, I guess.
You honestly, we've joked on and off the air all day where we've done literally the same thing. Like, we have joked that every day, I think we change our pick every day. I think we've gone Saints, Rams, and today we end with Saints. And we did the same thing with Chiefs, Patriots, Chiefs. I mean, it's crazy, but that's good, right? That means probably we're in store for two good championship games, I hope at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty good argument that these are the four best teams in football. Somebody asked me, when was the last time we were in this situation this weekend? You know, who knows? You know, but I do know that they're certainly the four highest scoring teams, probably the four most entertaining. And, you know, I think for anybody who's going to be sitting on their couch on Sunday, I think it's, going to be one of the more memorable Sundays of the year. Really looking forward to watching both games, not just the Rams game.
Joe Curley on the line with us covers the Rams. Joe, have you ever been around or had a conversation with Sean McVay?
Of course.
Well, why haven't you been hired as a coach?
Nice, very nice.
What? I mean,
very nice. Well,
everybody who's had contact with Sean McVay has been hired. What happened with you?
Actually, the funny thing about it is Wade Phillips, who's probably more responsible than anybody
right.
for the way the staff was put together. He's the one he was the keystone that made the whole decision work a couple years ago. He joked this week that, his son, Wes, who was the link between, the head coach and the defensive coordinator there that got the whole thing going, I think without Wade Phillips, who knows if the Rams had been, confident enough to make that gamble on the youngest head coach in modern NFL history. So he was joking that, hey, my son Wes, tight ends coach in Washington, ready for a head coaching job because, not only does he know Sean McVay, but he could argue he's the reason this whole thing got put together. So, I think that's why there was a lot of pressure last week on Coach McVay and the Rams, and I think he showed why so many teams are looking to follow that model. He went out and showed some adjustments. The Rams team we saw on Saturday night was quite different than the Rams team we saw all year. You know, they were told all week that they didn't have what it took to stop the run, and they turned that whole narrative around, and they showed that Dallas couldn't stop their running game. So, obviously that's one of the reasons why I think, you'd be confident in the Rams this weekend is that they're evolving. And now there's more kind of arrows in that quiver for Sean McVay when he's game planning this week. Who knows what he's going to do this week? Is he going to stick with the running game? Is he going to go with his strength, which is that, play action passing game? I think you fit that whole thing together, and there's a lot of options for him on Sunday.
All right, you walked us right into my next question. We were asking the listeners this because we do a contest. It's called Pick Six, and we have all these different categories, and one of the categories and one of the questions was the Saints have not given up a 100-yard rusher all year. The Rams ran for 273 on Dallas and had two guys go over 100 yards. So the question was, will the Saints give up a 100-yard rusher? Any. Will the Rams have a 100-yard rusher on Sunday? Your answer would be?
Yeah, I do, because, you know, without Rankins, with a kind of reformed Rams running game, I don't think, you know, the running game is going to win the game for the Rams if they win it. I think, you know, the running game is going to set up, you know, it's going to be the platform from which Jared Goff goes out and continues to have success in that dome. I mean, when you've got Todd Gurley, he's fine. His health is fine. You know, he's as healthy as he's been all year. You add C.J. Anderson, who, you know, said yesterday that he's the freshest back in the league. I mean, when have you ever seen somebody come off the street in December and make the type of impact on a conference finalist like he's had the last 3 weeks, rushing for almost 500 yards in three games? I mean, it's just been unbelievable. And, you know, I think that's – and when you take in the fact that Sheldon Rankins is out, you know, I think – and the Rams up front are, you know, as healthy as they've been all year, the second straight year that all five offensive linemen have played in every – you know, the starters have been clean the entire year. So, you know, I think that's another reason why the momentum maybe, you know, shows that the Rams can go in and kind of do the unthinkable. The Saints have never lost in that building in the playoffs under Sean Payton. So, you know, I think there's a lot of really strong reasons to pick both these teams. And, you know, again, that's why the spread is so close and why we're excited for what should be a really dramatic game.
Joe Curley is with us from the Ventura County Star. Joe, just your thoughts on how far this season, and really coupled off of last season, has advanced the fan base in the Los Angeles area as they try to recarve their niche and work their way towards the new stadium.
Hey, this is Los Angeles, right? The number one thing you have to do is win, and yeah, they've gotten that right. You know, one thing that the Rams had going for them as opposed to the Chargers when, you know, the joint moves were put together is that this Rams team had a long suffering, you know, unrequited fan base that had been, you know, watching from afar when they were in the Midwest. So many, you know, fans in this area who had grown up with the Rams, who continued to root for them when they left, and fought for the return of this team, you know, when they saw from a followed every little thing about that, you know, the lease. You know, I can't tell you how many Rams fans have come and told me the whole story about how the lease did this and this came out and then this, and they knew what was going to happen went here. And, you know, they're just this great fan base that was hidden dormant for a long time. I mean, and all the alumni in there, you didn't hear from Eric Dickerson for two decades, and all of a sudden he comes out, he's one of the more, seen and heard from alumni, NFL alumni, Hall of Famers in the league now, because, you know, him and Jim Everett and Ferragamo and all those great, you know, old LA Rams, you know, stars are kind of back in the spotlight. And, you know, but, you know, you go to it, Los Angeles is a, you know, the entertainment capital of the world. It's a place where you got to win. And that's why they've put so much into this team and made so many moves, Les Snead and Sean McVay in the offseason have been so aggressive trying to capture this moment, trying to build out that, that, you know, fan base. And, you know, you go to the grocery store now and, you know, what used to be Packer fans and Raider fans and Steeler fans and Patriot fans, you're starting to see a little more blue and yellow out there. And you're starting to see more Rams people, you know, more kids. You know, kind of now that this team is in their community, you know, it's not all the way back yet. You know, it's not, you know, what it was back in the day, and it's not what it's going to be in a couple of years, but they're building it out. And it is a unique situation with Los Angeles because you had two decades of people being fans of other teams. Packers are a huge fan base here. Patriots are a huge. Steelers, you know, obviously the four teams that are in California all have their fan bases. So, you know, this isn't like they moved, you know, to, you know, a team, you know, a place where there was no team and all of a sudden everyone automatically becomes Rams fans. This is a unique environment, and they've done just about all they can through the first couple of years to, you know, get the team going in the right direction and win football games.
What sense do you get of the health of Todd Gurley right now? We know when he's 100%, he is extremely dynamic. He's been coming back He was obviously good last week, but they did use C.J. Anderson a lot. You think he's moving in the right direction on the healthy side?
Yeah, I think the under-reported aspect of you know, this leg injury he's had is that he came out after, you know, he sat out and said that he picked it up. You know, the initial injury came in the Oakland game in Monday Night Football, the first game of the year. So this is somebody who scored 21 touchdowns in 14 games.
Wow.
Carrying an injury all season. So, you know, the way I look at it, the last 2 weeks of the year, they're playing two of the lesser teams in the NFL. You know, they gave him a rest. He had basically a month off of football. You know, they went with the hot hand because C.J. Anderson was doing such a good job in that Dallas game. Obviously, I thought Todd looked like Todd last week, especially in the running game, maybe not so much in the passing game. But, you know, if I'm obviously, I may have talked to Sean McVay, but I'm certainly not Sean McVay. So who knows how he's going to use the two of them this weekend. But if I was, you know, in charge of this offense, I would be running, you know, using my, you know, my horse, my, you know, highest paid running back in the NFL right now, I would use him every way possible as a running back, as a receiver, as a pass blocker. You know, he is the keystone member of this offense. And I think he's going to be Todd this weekend.
Joe, real quick, as we wrap this up, we got to know Matt LaFleur a little bit here as the Titans OC, and to be perfectly honest, loved our conversations with him. We're rooting for him, but if we were being honest, we did not believe he was going to land the Packers head coaching job. So that definitely surprised us. What about you when you heard the news?
Sure. Yeah, you know, I think, and I probably have a slightly different opinion than you guys, you know, it surprised me that it was the Packers. You know, because the thing about Coach LaFleur, you know, certainly he's, you know, he's as prepared a young coach as there is. We were really impressed with him, you know, as a coach in the year he was out here in L.A. What we maybe, you know, weren't as impressed with was, you know, his handling of press conferences and you know, how he was as kind of the figurehead, potential figurehead. I remember him at the end of that year telling somebody that, you know, he was going to be a head coach some you know, at some point, but he, you know, he had to continue to improve his presence, you know, in front of microphones and as the figurehead of an organization. I think that's where he needed to grow. Certainly he can call plays and scheme, you know, and he's as up to date on this modern NFL game as anybody. But that's why I was surprised that it's Green Bay, because obviously that's one of the biggest jobs in sports, never mind one of the biggest jobs in football. And he did improve the year he was here. I didn't see any of his press conferences in Tennessee. You know, I think if we were being honest, you know, I'm sure there was, I got a lot of buddies out here that are Packer fans. He was pretty underwhelming in his introductory press conference, but he'll improve, and that position will force him to improve. And again, you know, I think we can argue about how big, you know, kind of being able to be the face of an organization is in that role. I think if he, you know, the most important thing is they've got the, you know, they've got a young, innovative coordinator for Aaron Rodgers. You know, and it wasn't the easiest place to go, obviously, Tennessee, with the way that, you know, the roster was in transition from, you know, Exotic Smash Mouth to what he was trying to do. And certainly, you know, I think the other, you know, criticism is that, obviously, the obvious one is that, you know, that offense there wasn't, you know, it wasn't maybe what people expected. Obviously, Marcus Mariota didn't have the year that, you know, a lot of people have predicted for him. So, that's another surprising aspect of it. But I think they got what they wanted, you know, and I think, but certainly, you know, everyone's going to have an opinion on whether or not that was a good hire, and we'll find out in a couple of years, see how Aaron Rodgers says in the next couple of years.
No doubt. Joe, appreciate the visit. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Anytime. You guys, too. Appreciate it.
All right. That is Joe Curley, Ventura County Star. Back to wrap up the show next.